Welcome to Pit Pass Moto, the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. I'm Dave Selecki, and this week we have Moto America's race control lead, Walter Walker, as our guest. Racing results from MotoGP, we have from Misano Circuit in Italy. Francesco Bagnaia wins it, takes it ahead of Fabio Quartararo, who finished second, followed by Ennea Battistini. The big news for the weekend, then, is Fabio Quartararo continues to lead in points, sitting on 234, followed by Bagnaia, sitting on 186, and Johan Mir in third with 167 points. Results from World Superbike in Catalunya at Barcelona, Spain. Scott Redding takes race one, the Australian rider on Ducati, followed by Bassani. In third, Rinaldi. In race two, Rinaldi takes the win, followed by Toprak, Raz Gatlioglu in second. Third was taken by Scott Redding's points so far this year in World Superbike. Toprak, Raz Gatlioglu continues to lead, sitting on 399, but it's a narrow lead. Sitting 1 point behind is Jonathan Rea, followed by Scott Redding on 339. In MXGP this past weekend, Jeffrey Herlings takes the lead and wins the first moto, followed by Jorge Prado, followed by Romain Fabre taking third. Your point standings at MXGP, Jeffrey Herlings is now your leader over Tim Geiser by 1 point. Herlings sitting on 371, Geiser sitting on 370, followed by Romain Fabre in third with 367. In MX2 action, Tom Vielle takes the win, followed by Maxime Renault. K.D. Wolf takes third on his Husqvarna. Your point standings so far this year, Maxime Renault continues to lead on 403 points, followed by Mattia Gaudagnini in second with 332, and Yago Geertz in third, sitting on 325. Big news out of MXGP this weekend, Antonio Cairoli has announced his retirement. He's had a great career, and we're sorry to see him go, but what a great racer. Results this last weekend from a very wet and wild Moto America race at Barber Motorsports Park in Superbike Race 1. Cam Peterson takes the win, upsetting Jake Gagne's win streak, and Matthew Schultz takes second. Loris Baz takes third in Race 1. Race 2, Matthew Schultz takes the win, followed by Baz and Gagne in third. In Race 3, Gagne brings it back and wins, followed by Matthew Schultz in third, Loris Baz. So your final standings on the year, Jake Gagne taking the title with 445 points over Matthew Schultz with 357, and Cam Peterson taking home third with 264 points. In the Stock 1000 class, Jake Lewis wins it, followed by Michael Gilbert and Travis Wyman in third. So your final standings in Stock 1000, Jake Lewis sitting on 232, followed by Travis Wyman with 175, bringing up third, Corey Alexander with 173. In super sport action, Sean Dillon Kelly wins it in the first race, followed by Richie Escalante in second on his Kawasaki, followed in third by Stefano Meza. In race two, Gabriel Da Silva wins it, followed by Sean Dillon Kelly, and bringing up third, Sam Lokoff. Your final standings on the year, Sean Dillon Kelly takes the title with 410 points, followed by Richie Escalante with 315 in second, and third, Sam Lokoff with 233 points. And the exciting Build Train Race program, managed by Melissa Paris, had their final event at Birmingham this last weekend. Taking first in the Build Train Race program, CJ Lukasz wins it, followed by Kayla Theisler. In third, Trisha Dahl. So your final standings in the BTR series, CJ Lukasz takes the title with 75 points, followed by Trisha Dahl on 48. In third, Becky Goebel with 40 points. This week's Pit Pass Trivia question is, what motorcycle model is the longest-running model manufactured? Name the model, brand, and the year it was introduced. The answer to that question after our interview with Walter Walker.
Have you ever wanted to know how to win a Formula One Grand Prix? I mean, really know about the driver tactics from the cockpit, the strategy calls from the pit wall, and even the mind games in the paddock. There's a lot more that goes into winning a Grand Prix than just 90 minutes of racing. So every week on the F1 Strategy Report, we're taking a deep dive into the decisions that shape every result. Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and every week I'm joined by an expert guest from the paddock to talk through the big calls that won the race and the missteps that resulted in bitter defeat. Before every race, we'll look back at the previous year's result and consult the current form guide, and we'll be in your feed after every Grand Prix dissecting the outcome and what it means for the championship. So for your regular hit of Formula One analysis, subscribe to the F1 Strategy Report wherever you get your favourite podcasts. The Strategy Report is a Beer Mogul podcast on the Evergreen Podcasts Network. My name's Michael Laminato, and I'll catch you after the checkered flag.
We'd like to welcome back to Pit Pass Moto, Walter Walker, who's the race control lead for Moto America. Walter, thanks for coming on the show, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Just as a refresher for our listeners, I know you wear a lot of hats, but what exactly is race control lead for Moto America entail?
My official title is deputy race director. I'm just the general do everything guy for the members of race direction. You know, I'm the chief communicator, so all communications to the staff and to all the teams and everything goes through me. That way it's just one voice that people are taking their direction from instead of multiple people talking to the staff and the paddock and that sort of stuff.
So I imagine on any given weekend, there's a lot of people saying, go ask Walter before they do anything.
a lot. Yeah. Most of my stuff it's all over radios and headsets and that sort of stuff. I mean, I'm talking on, I generally have like four different radios in front of me, and then I have a headset with a direct communication to the production truck for TV. So yeah, I mean, I have lots of questions, lots of answers, lots of let me get back to you with the answer, that sort of stuff.
I imagine a pretty hectic weekend, but first and foremost, congrats on the completed season for Moto America. You guys just had an outstanding year. You can't say enough about how well the series looked and felt as far as viewership goes, and really great job this year. You guys did an awesome job.
Well, we really do appreciate that. It's a team effort. You know, I'm just one of the cogs in a really big wheel, from Chuck and Wayne and the partners with Crave all the way down to the grid staff and you know all the volunteers and all that sort of stuff. It's a huge team effort.
And it shows. I think everybody there is not only part of the Moto America race family, but they're enthusiasts too, which I think kind of shows in the product that goes out to the public and the race fans.
Oh, I agree. It's weird. We were having that very conversation yesterday afternoon, in that with the members of Race Direction and Nicole Cox, our operations director, and all that. It's that we all take so much pride in the product that we produce, and that's why we're all there. It's not a job. I guess you could say it's a labor of love. I mean, we're like you said, we're all enthusiasts. We wouldn't be there if we weren't. I mean, God knows we're not getting rich doing it. I mean, we're doing it because we enjoy the sport. We want to make the sport better, and that's why everyone that's involved is involved.
Yeah, no doubt it is better. I think that's the general consensus to everybody I've talked to that's watching the races and following Moto America either on the streaming service or on Fox. And you can really pick up the vibe is very positive. And I got to say, after, you know, you guys had a pretty good season of weather all around for Moto America up until this last round in Alabama. I mean, what a challenge for you guys and the team. And I mean, talk about that situation. How do you have to adapt? What changes for you guys? I mean, it's obviously the event still went off, but you know, is it much harder when you're dealing with that kind of weather?
I can't even describe the stress that we were all feeling, trying to anticipate what Mother Nature was going to throw at us next, and that's all you can do. And we've got a lot of schedule constraints that we have to stick to with TV schedules, and which is really the biggest thing that we have to adhere to is we have blocks of time that we have to stay within to be able to get these things on for our live races, to get those programs on, you know. And I mean, we're sitting there looking at the radar and scratching our heads. It's like, what's going to do next? And then we'd start a race, and then the sky would just open up, and unfortunately, it was we had a lot of crashes and a lot of stoppages due to the weather. But I mean, thankfully, no serious injuries. But it was one of those things like, what's going to happen next? You know, and there was a collective deep breath once it was all over with. It's like, man, we got through that, and we were lucky up until this point. You know, last race of the year is always going to be the most exciting in one way or another, it seems.
Yeah, there's always got to be one mutter, I think, throughout the year, and it's
yeah, for sure.
And doing that and keeping the riders safe, which ultimately you guys did a great job. Kudos to you guys for pulling that off and the team. I mean, sure, you're going to have slide outs. You're going to have situations where that, you know, the weather's just going to overcome the tires. And luckily, like you said, nobody was seriously injured. You just had a relatively slow race rather than a dangerous race.
Right. You know, we listen to our competitors, and, you know, we're getting input from them on track conditions and that sort of stuff. I mean, our rider rep, Michael Martin, was down, you know, pounding the pavement, talking to riders, getting their input. And our safety officer, Dan Argano, that's his job, is safety. So he's first and foremost, he's monitoring track conditions. And when he goes out and does his inspection, is, you know, calls up to control and says, hey, you know, we're going to have to wait. It's the track is just not passable right now. And then, you know, everybody goes to work. The staff there at Barber Motorsport Park are incredible. The general manager there, a guy named Mark Witt, went out, pulled off his shoes and his socks, rolled up his pants legs to his knees, walked out into knee deep water to clear a clogged drain grate. Personally did that to get us going again. And you just don't see that happen, you know, very often. A guy of his position out there doing that kind of work. But man, he jumped in feet first, literally, and, you know, helped us get going again.
Good to see everybody rolling up their sleeves and pulling off the event. And like I said, I thought it was great the way you guys pulled through. And kind of switching gears a little bit, I see Moto America has put out their 2022 schedule, which is awesome, and it's great to see. And I think probably the most noticed thing on the schedule is that Moto America is teaming up with Daytona for the 200 next year in March. So are you going to be at that event? Is that something you're going to be involved in? Or
absolutely. Absolutely. We were talking about that also this weekend, and that right now, I think there's only four of us that are currently on the Moto America staff that have actually been a part of running events at Daytona in the past. And myself, Dan Argano, and a couple of our other staff, I believe our starter and our pit out guy, and that's it. The rest are, this is going to be their first time going to Daytona to run an event, but it'll come together great. But there's so much nostalgia, you know, in history behind the Daytona 200. And it's really exciting to be able to go back to a track that is one of my favorites, both as a rider and as an official. It was always one of my favorites. And it's going to be really cool to be able to go back and run the 200 there. Just the history, it just means so much to the sport that going back is going to be great.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think it's a great coming together to do that. And I see they've opened the rules up too for some of the bikes. They're basically going to use international rules on the displacement. So that's going to make things even more interesting and competitive on top of, you know, the standard 200 rules.
Right. There's going to be quite an array of bikes that'll be eligible for that for next year. And it's interesting to see how they're all going to match up. And Moto America works very hard, and the FIM as well works very hard to try to balance things out, to keep things competitive to where you don't have one platform that runs away from everything else. So they've done a really good job with that in Junior Cup and, you know, obviously in the 600 class as well, to keep things balanced. I mean, so it puts it more on rider talent and skill than just being able to pick the best motorcycle platform and then build it to the moon and then go out and win that way. So it keeps the riders the number one factor in what's going to win. And I think that's really important to the sport, is to center the competition on the rider skills rather than just on the best equipment.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and, you know, keep it more competitive that way. And I see also that they just completed a test to validate the Harley-Davidson so they could run the King of the Baggers at that same weekend.
Right, right.
So that's going to be an interesting take to see the, you know, 600-pound baggers going around that banking. I just can't imagine.
I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to seeing it myself. That's it's going to be something to see. And that baggers class has been a huge hit everywhere we've run it. It's brought in a lot of new fans to road racing, which is, you know, obviously what we need is to get more people, either, you know, butts in the seats or, you know, people watching us on TV and that sort of stuff. But the baggers was a home run. When the partners, when they came up with that, man, I was scratching my head at first, but then to see the enthusiasm behind it, it's like, wow, that was a good move, a really good move.
That is the name of the game, butts in the seats, and kudos to Moto America for coming up with these ideas and stirring up the pot, as I like to say. Now, you've done some work in the past. You've worked with the CMRA, and I know they've still got events on their schedule. Are you still locked in on that? I think Oklahoma's coming up next.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm actually driving back from Barber right now. I'm pulled over at a truck stop to talk to you guys, and then I'm heading on home, and then loading our transporter tomorrow, and then heading to Oklahoma on Wednesday morning to set up for CMRA race this weekend. And as soon as I get back from that, I'm going straight to Circuit of the Americas for MotoGP.
That was actually one of my questions, and I'm glad you brought that up, because how cool is that? I know it's a working weekend for you, but to be at that venue to see that caliber of racing, that level of riders, I mean, that's going to be a stellar event to see.
I'm thankful that it actually is going to happen, because, I mean, just a month ago, there were a lot of question marks on that thing about whether or not they were going to be able to get it done, just because of all the different restrictions and that sort of stuff. And there's still going to be some restrictions. I mean, there's no paddock access for spectators and that sort of stuff this year. But, I mean, general admission to the facility is going to be open. It's not going to let anybody down into the paddock this year. But at least it's happening. At least it's happening. And I enjoy working that event. I've worked it every year since, you know, that they've had it. It's been a lot of fun. It's a lot of work. I mean, I basically do the same thing for MotoGP and in race control that I do for Moto America. So again, it's a lot of work, but there's a lot of prestige, you know, behind being chosen to be a part of that team. I'm looking forward to it.
That's awesome. And that just shows that, you know, like you said before, being a fan of the sport and being able to work amongst the racers in the sport, it's really rewarding, I could imagine, for somebody like yourself.
Yeah, it definitely is.
So with all that said, I mean, it seems like week in and week out, you're attending and working events and managing the deluge of things that go on at a given weekend. You know, what do you do in your rare downtime, Walter? I know usually we talk about your racing duties, but what are your hobbies and what do you get to do when you finally get to take a breather?
Well, you know, it's racing is my hobby. And I was fortunate enough to turn something that I really enjoy into a way to make a living, because CMRA is my full-time job. That's my actual 9-to-5. And then Moto America is my part-time job. And then, you know, when I do have some downtime, I try to, you know, spend time with my wife and my kids. And my wife and my kids also work for CMRA. And then my two sons, they both race with CMRA and, you know, in a couple of other series throughout the year, but spending time with the family, working on the boys' motorcycles and racing. And that's my life in a nutshell.
Well, and that's rewarding in itself, as I know I'm a racer father myself, when my kids were younger anyway. That is a very satisfying thing to do and get your kids involved and be a part of it and watch them succeed in the sport that you love.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Both of my boys have done really well in road racing over the years, and I'm really proud of their accomplishments. And we're actually going, I'm taking both of them to Daytona in October for the CCS Race of Champions. They're going to go out and try their hand out there. It'll be their first time racing at Daytona. So we're looking forward to that. But yeah, I take a lot of pride in their accomplishments. I guess I'm living vicariously through them now, because too old to race myself anymore, but I certainly enjoy working with them and helping them succeed.
And that is cool. That's very satisfying, and I know exactly where you're coming from. Well, Walter, our time is running out, and I just wanted to thank you for spending time with us today on Pit Pass Moto. And is there anybody you want to give a shout-out to that you work with, or anybody from the team?
Well, just everybody. I mean, all the staff and the officials, all the folks with the TV crews and all that sort of stuff. I mean, all of our volunteers and our corner workers. I mean, I truly, it's an honor to work with all of them. It's certainly an honor to work with the partners, with the Crave Group, with Chuck and Wayne. I mean, it's kind of a dream come true working for one of your heroes, you know, in Wayne Rainey. I just want to tell them all thank you for, you know, all the hard work they put in, and I've certainly enjoyed it.
All right. Well, thank you, Walter, for taking the time, and take care on your drive back, man.
Sure will. Thank you. My pleasure.
We would like to thank Walter Walker for spending time with us today. This week's Pit Pass trivia question was, what motorcycle model is the longest-running model manufactured? Name the model, brand, and the year it was introduced. The answer is the Sportster from Harley-Davidson was introduced in 1957 and was continually manufactured through 2016 in various engine displacements, but fundamentally the same motorcycle. What a great motorcycle and a long run, and hats off to Harley-Davidson for manufacturing that particular model. Upcoming racing, we've got World Superbike Round 10 at Juarez, Andalusia, Spain, September 24th through 26th. GNCC Racing Round 11 coming to Sunday Creek in Millfield, Ohio, September 25th and 26th. MotoGP at Circuit of America in Austin, Texas, October 3rd. MXGP of Germany Round 11 is October 3rd. Thank you again to our guests for being with us today, and thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to follow us in your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. If you have a moment, please rate and review us. We really appreciate it. Make sure you also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit pitpassmoto.com, where you can check out our blog. This has been a production of Evergreen Podcasts. A special thank you to Tommy Boy Halverson, Chris Bishop, producer Leah Longbreak, and audio engineer Eric Coltnow. I'm Dave, and we'll see you next week.
Stay ahead of the pack with the latest racing news and interviews from the Hammerdown Racing Report, your source for regional racing action as well as the national scene. Every week, we recap racing action from all around Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan and cover national racing series from the world of outlaws to NASCAR. Plus, get all the latest racing news. Join hosts Scott Hammer and Ron Miller, along with different featured guests each week. From dirt to asphalt, we have you covered. The Hammerdown Racing Report, available weekly on your favorite podcasting platform.